Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome into today's episode of Forte Catholic. We hope that you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, your first Sunday of Advent, and we are glad that you are here with us now. Getting back to the normal swing of things as we continue this holiday season. We've got a great show for you today. Today's show is brought to you in part by OCP, the Grotto Network, and Ave Explorers. If you enjoy today's show, we hope that you hit the subscribe button on YouTube or wherever you are listening to the podcast. Thanks for being here and enjoy today's show. Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Stroll, and that is Olivia Newton-John. Happy Thanksgiving, Olivia.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope all of our listeners enjoyed their Thanksgiving. Happy Advent.
Oh, that's right. Jeez, Taylor, I love that you liturgically keep me strong.
Yeah. Happy Lent. Are you ready for Lent? What are you giving up for Lent?
Man, that's depressing.
What are you going to do to celebrate feasted. Christ the King next year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's awesome. No, hey, listen, we survived Thanksgiving. We survived the food, which to you is Tuesday. We just survived the family. We survived.
We did it.
All of it, Taylor. High five. High Virtual five. High five.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I was thinking about that. Everybody's like, oh, I gorged myself on Thanksgiving. And I'm just like, man, like the portions that you all eat on Thanksgiving is just like my normal portion for my meals on, like, last Tuesday, the Tuesday before, the Thursday before that. Like, it's just a normal thing for me. So welcome to my world. Yeah.
Is it just different foods for you on Thanksgiving? Or are you like, no, I have a turkey and stuffing every week?
We don't do turkey. That's our hot take. We do ham. We're ham people. We all decided as a family, it was so funny because, like, apparently for years we all hated the turkey. And then we started going to my aunt's house that had honey baked ham and turkey. And then, like, my whole family only ate the ham when we were there. And we all kind of noticed this. And then one day we just all had a discussion. We're like, we're all done with this, right? And we go, yep. Yeah. And then we all switched to ham. But, like, all the sides and stuff, like, my wife will cook, like, those sides and everything, like mashed potatoes and green bean casserole and mac and cheese on the random Tuesday. So, you know, nothing special for me. Just get to bet football and have a blast all day. It's so much fun.
I love it. So let me ask you this. My mom makes a pineapple sauce for the ham. Do you guys do that? Or what do you have with the ham?
We don't, but you're planning for next year's Lent. I'm already planning for next year's Thanksgiving because I want to get that pineapple sauce from your mom. I love pineapple. I think it'd be great.
Okay, I'll send it to you for next year because I think you'll love it. Like, it is like the best thing ever. I eat it with bread. Because I don't eat ham. It's so good. Anyway.
So last week, the day before Thanksgiving, I was playing video games with a group of guy friends. Everybody was home. We're all relaxed. I hadn't played with them in forever because, you know, I was busy. But, like, you know, Thanksgiving week, we're all hanging out, playing together. We're all good friends to where, like, you know, like typical guys, like cutting each other up and all that sort of thing, right? So one guy asks, it's like, oh, who's going the furthest for Thanksgiving, like who's traveling the furthest for Thanksgiving? And immediately the first answer was, oh, I'm going across the street. Like, yeah, because like his parents or whatever live across the street. And immediately the guy who asked the question goes, shut up, Doug. You know, like, just like, shut up. Like, you're clearly not answering the question. So then we all laugh at that, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody else is like, oh, I'm staying home. And I'm like, well, I'm staying home. And the guy who asked the question is like, shut up. If you're clearly not the person who's the longest, don't say anything. And then everyone's quiet for a while. There's 8 people on this call. I'm staying home. I'm staying home. I'm staying home. So we realize that Doug, who got shut up immediately for saying he's going across the street, was the person traveling the furthest.
Wait, and his real name is Doug?
His real name is Doug. Shout out to Doug.
Stop.
Doug doesn't listen to this.
Shut
Doug doesn't listen to this
Doug.
Show, but 2 of the people That's on this call awesome. Do listen to the show, and they're going to share this with Doug, and I'm very happy about that fact.
That is hilarious. That is really funny. That's cool. No. Well, happy past Thanksgiving, Doug.
Yeah, for real. It gets
Hopefully
better.
Everybody goes on an excursion next year, but this is not, apparently right. This was not the year.
No, I'm so glad. We'll talk about it in a second, but I've been traveling. I traveled the weekend before Thanksgiving. I'll say it in a second. But the Doug story gets even better.
Oh, no.
There was one person who had been playing with us and was on Xbox Live with us who was not there when this whole thing was going on. So he comes back. His headset had died. He had to charge it, get new batteries, whatever. He comes back, and they say, David, the guy who was gone, here's the whole story. Where are you going? And I'm like, no, stop. Like, don't ruin the moment. Don't. We just had this perfect moment. We all died laughing. Don't ruin it. And then the guy who originally asked the question said, no, I need this. I need this. I need him to say somewhere further than across the street.
Across the street.
And so it is dead silence. And David, the person who was not there, says, I'm staying home. We erupted again. It was the greatest moment in human history. I mean, you know, Christmas and Easter, sure. But this was up there. This really was up there. It was so much fun.
That's fantastic. And it wasn't the first year of the pandemic. So, I mean, at least last year, that was everybody's answer. Right. So the fact that this year you could travel and you're not, you know, and you guys didn't travel, that's really cool.
Right.
So I love it. That's awesome.
Fun. Did y'all stay home?
We stayed home. Yeah. Well, I mean, we went to my brother's house, but yeah, I mean, that's here in town.
Across the street.
So across the street.
You went three doors down. You traveled the furthest.
But yeah, exactly. But you know what? We never travel for Thanksgiving. We've traveled for Thanksgiving when I was little, like maybe twice. One time we went to New York because my dad's family is all from the Northeast. He's from New Jersey. And I have family in New York and New Jersey. And so we were there and we were going to go to the Thanksgiving Day parade, which is still a dream of mine. Why is it still a dream, you ask? Because a blizzard came through. So the one time I was in New York City for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, flipping snow. So we didn't get to go. And then I remember going to like my grandmother's once, but like we always were the family that stayed home for Thanksgiving. But my husband, Nathan, they traveled every year for Thanksgiving. So he doesn't want to go anywhere. He's happy. He's like, right. Yep, we're staying. My yeah. brother is as far as we go.
That's funny. So I like how you tried to travel once and it went so poorly that you were like, we're never doing this again.
I'm so depressed. One day I will be in my favorite city in the world for Thanksgiving and be at the parade one day, but that's not this year. It did not happen. So I'm, you know,
I've heard you talk about this before, the whole Macy's Day Parade. I think it was probably on one, you know, one of your 18 podcasts sure. that you do or whatever. I heard you talk about it and, I don't think I've told you this part of the story yet, because like when I come on your show, like I'm just kind of the sidekick. So I don't get to say everything that I want, but here I can say whatever I want and make you feel however I want you to feel. So, you have talked before about, you know, your big dream of going to the Macy's Day Parade. Mm-hmm. I think I forgot the part that, like, you actually tried to go once. Like, that actually kind of makes it sad. So I'm not going to be too mean.
It is sad.
But I, too, Olivia, this is something that we have in common. I, too, have missed the Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. So
no way.
I think I've told you the story before, and I know I've told it on the show.
Well, I'll forget.
I sang in Carnegie Hall my junior year in college. Got to sing a solo. I used to be good at stuff. I just like reminding people of these sorts of things. So while we were in New York City, like the day that we flew in, it was, you know, it was around this time. It was actually on Thanksgiving Day that we flew in. So like we weren't with our families that year. Well, like I got to see my dad and my sister because they came up to New York. But you know, like we had Thanksgiving like as a choir. Like it was actually really, really cool.
Wow, that is really cool.
Yeah, there's like, you know, 80 something of us completely bought out this Italian restaurant. We had Italian Thanksgiving. It was great.
That's so fun.
So we flew in at like we left at like 4 a.m. It's freezing cold. You know, we get to all these Texans getting into New Jersey and driving over to New York City. And big city for this little country boy, all this kind of stuff, right? Well, we were delayed just enough to where, because our hotel was right off of Grand Central Station. Like it's the hotel is in Grand Central Station, like, in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
And the parade went right by there to where some of our rooms had windows facing where the parade was.
On the route?
Yeah, we were on the route to where like we had even planned it. Like, well, we knew that, like, obviously, like, we took up, like, a hallway, so half of the rooms were on the road. So we were like, we're going to get there. We're all tired, but we're not going to sleep. Like, we're not going to take a nap when we get there. We're going to watch the Thanksgiving Day Parade. We were
Don't
delayed.
Don't do this to my heart.
We were delayed. We didn't get there. We didn't get there in time. We were on the route. I was supposed to be, like, we were on, like, the 12th floor. I was going to be, like, eye level with, you know, Pinocchio, and it didn't work out.
Oh, my gosh. I think is even more depressing. Like I would have.
Oh, I wasn't even trying to one up your story, and I win. Yay!
No, you did. I'm gonna be in a fetal position after we record.
Well, that's normal. Also, a normal Tuesday. Yeah, exactly.
That's true. I always take extra of my medication whenever we record. Interesting. No, that's really sad. But I don't think you care as much as I do. I mean, I think you care, but like this is a dream, Taylor. Like this is like. This is a dream.
Yeah, I mean, I was sad, but I have to remind you, 3 days later, I sang a solo at Carnegie Hall, so I recovered pretty quickly. Yeah.
You were good. Yeah, no. I've never been in, I don't know if I've ever even been, no, I have been in Carnegie Hall. I saw the Rockettes, and I believe they were in Carnegie Hall.
Not as good as my performance, I just have to say.
Not as good. Yeah. No, and your legs are better, so.
Oh, 100%. I'll do some kicks off camera.
For sure. Oh, jeez.
So,
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Happy Lent. Yeah,
this is what I'm giving up for giving. I'm giving up your legs for Lent.
Whoa, careful. Okay, so this is a weird transition, but my sister got married the weekend before Thanksgiving. So
she did.
She did.
Oh wait, she did.
My baby sister.
I knew that.
You did know that.
I knew that. Yep. I did know that. Yeah.
It's so funny that sometimes in good radio and podcasting, you have to play dumb. You do it so naturally.
That's what Ethan says. I have this new morning show and I'm constantly forgetting things. And so the audience has to chime in. And Ethan goes, you're really good at getting the audience to participate. And it's natural.
Right. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm like, who, like today I was like, Good Will Hunting. Who wrote that? Ben Affleck. And what is that guy's name? Ben Affleck. And they're like, Matt Damon.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The man you had a crush on for 10 years. You know, no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. I named my kid Damon. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. But like, seriously. So yeah, I'm sorry. But yes, I do remember your sister got married and it was before Thanksgiving. I'm with you now.
Sure.
Continue.
Okay. Well, now we have to address what you just said because yesterday there are two producers for your show. There's me and then your other producer. And we were talking yesterday and I had like something got spelled wrong in the captions for one of your promo videos. And she was like, can you fix it? And I'm like, ultimately, yes, I fixed it. But like, just like you were saying, the best way to get comments is to actually spell stuff wrong. Like, it is actually a suggestion for a lot of, like, Instagram influencers. Like, hey, spell something wrong in your post. You know why? Because people will comment on how stupid you are, and that will make your post go viral because it has thousands of comments.
Brilliant.
So I changed it this time, but from here on out, if there's a spelling thing, I'm going to be like, no, post
You're doing
it.
Me a solid.
Yeah, exactly.
How'd you get famous? Misspelling.
Yeah. My idiot friend helped me be dumber than I actually am.
I am now a Hilton.
Yeah. Okay, so back to my sister's wedding.
Back to your sister's wedding. I'm here.
She is still 7 years old to me. Apparently, she's 25. That's news to
Ew.
Me.
I thought yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, I thought she was seven, and like she's still seven. So like, I knew going into the weekend that that I was going to be doing the music for the mass, and like, not really DJing. Like my sisters had. Because like my other sister, so I have two sisters, I have, Sam and Megan. So Megan got married, the baby got married. Middle sister was the best woman. What do they call them? Maid of honor. There you go.
Who's the best woman here?
Yeah,
Megan.
Exactly. She could probably raise her hand. It's probably fair.
Oh.
They made this playlist. All I had to do was like go up and press play and be like, and now announcing, you know, the mother and son
what
dance
are their
or whatever.
Names?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, good thing they wrote them down.
Well, to be fair, I'm glad I didn't introduce the like now Mr. and Mrs. because I totally forgot the dude's last name. So
that's hilarious.
Mr. and Mrs.
Mrs. My baby
Megan
sister.
Troll.
Wait a second. Can we pause? I don't think I realized that your wife and your sister have the same name. Have we ever talked about that before?
Yes. Everyone knows this. There are two Samantha Strolls in my life. It's very confusing. One's brown, one's white. That's what we call them. Not really.
One you're in love with. One, you just DJ'd her wedding. So
no.
Everybody can figure
out
which one is.
You're really confused now. The other Sam didn't get married.
Oh, the Sam. She's the best woman.
Yes, the best woman. The best woman is Samantha Stroll, and my best woman is Samantha Stroll. It's all very confusing.
Oh, that's cute. I see what you did there. Okay, continue. So you're at the wedding, and you're DJing, and you're all the things.
Yeah, so those are the things that we had planned on doing. Well, I feel like my family's been very supportive of, like, of me and like my quote unquote career, right? Like my parents put me through college and like I studied things like music and theology. Yeah. So like playing the music for Mass, that seems perfect. You know, like it led me to being hosting things. So it's like, oh yeah, being like the host of the party. Like those things make sense, right?
Yeah.
I think they, for the first time, they have poured so much into me. I think for the first time, they finally started getting their money's worth for all the love and money they've poured into my quote unquote career. Because I did the music for the Mass, and if I must say, it was tremendous. Like,
if I may be humble,
so
Vatican should be calling any moment.
I mean, they really should. it was just one of those things where, like, the reason that I'm saying is, like, I've been so out of practice with singing and playing the guitar that, like, I haven't really felt like myself in a long time doing that stuff. Yeah. But like, yeah. It was rocking at the wedding, right? Okay, but so I told you the jobs that I had. But then I arrive to the church, and like a good boy, I arrive an hour early. Because that's anytime I'm going to play music for the Mass, I usually get there about an hour early. Make sure I'm set up, make sure the guitars, everything's working, right? I was also supposed to meet the sound guy, because they told me at the rehearsal, like, oh yeah, the sound guy will be here tomorrow, we'll get you plugged in. I was like, okay, fine. So it's 12 o'clock, the wedding's at 1. It's 12:15, still no sound guy. It's 12:30, still no sound guy. I'm all set up, other than getting plugged in. It's 12:40. I go find the deacon. Where's the sound guy? I don't know. Okay, good. And then he's like, it's 12:45. It's 12:50. I go up to him at 12:45, and I'm like, deacon, I know this isn't my church. I do this stuff for a living, like sound, like setting up everything. I know it's not my church, because he's like, oh, don't touch it. And I'm like, it's in 10 minutes, man. Like, if he's not here by 12:50, like, I'm going to set it up. And he's okay. So 12:50 hits. I set everything up. I'm the sound guy. It's not my church. I have to learn, like, I have to figure out where the sound system is. I have to figure out where the speakers are. I have to figure out I have to go walk around this church and turn everything on. I'm wearing the suit that I'm sweating through, you know, the suit that I talked about last week, you know, fat guy in a little coat, that suit. Like, that. I'm wearing my new suit and all this stuff. Like, I'm literally ready for the wedding at like 12:58. And then, you know, the wedding starts. Everything's great, right? Yeah. And then we go take pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's taking pictures. During the pictures, my you know, like the parents of the bride are usually the people that like sponsor the party, right? Like that's how that happens, right? Mm-hmm. So they had, you know, catered the food and all this stuff. And there was supposed to be a cocktail hour. And so they rented like one of those double where it was like frozen margaritas on one side and frozen daiquiris on the other.
Yeah.
Well, the best man, the actual best man, calls my dad during pictures, and he's like, we just went over there, and, like, the margarita mix is everywhere. It's all over the floor. It's all over the table. It's everywhere. It had broke. The machine that they had rented had broken. So there was, like, not going to be any alcohol. I mean, there was a keg, but there was not going to, like, the whole machine was broken. So, and then, like, the cocktail hour is in an hour. Like, there's no way they're going to come and fix it. So I go.
And it's not going to get frozen. It's not going to, like, be ready.
Right. So,
oh, my gosh.
I look at my dad and I'm like, do you want me to go to the liquor store? And he's like, I'm not sure. And I'm like, I'm going to the liquor store. So I went to the liquor store, bought $350 worth of liquor, brought it to the party, got there, set up the table. I had I became the bartender, which is something.
Are you serious?
They didn't pay for me to go to college, but let's just say college helped, you know? So they're getting the whole experience. They're getting the whole Taylor experience. I sang already. The music's playing on my computer. I'm the host of the thing. I'm the bartender. I'm making all the drinks. I'm making people margaritas. I'm making Jack and Coke. I'm making, you know, Jameson on the rocks. I'm making all of these drinks, right? And then, like, emceeing throughout the evening. I tell you what, I was exhausted by the end
you
of the
worked.
Night.
You worked.
Yeah.
You worked. You get to go on the honeymoon without the sister.
Yeah.
Wait a second. I got to ask a question. Did the sound guy ever show up? Did we find out what happened?
He did show up at about 12:55. And he's like, oh, everything's good? And I'm like, yep. So.
Oh, my gosh. And hoping y'all got your money back on that margarita machine. But that's awesome.
I have no idea. But I didn't buy my sister a present because I always forget. Like, my presence is always my present. I always forget that, like.
It was this time.
Just, like, driving to wherever I was, Lubbock, which is a whole other thing. We'll talk about that in a second. Driving to Lubbock and getting up there and getting my kids there and doing all the. I was like, that was my present. But now, apparently, most of the alcohol was my present to my sister.
I think everything you did was like a present. I mean, Taylor, I even for like not just you, but anybody, you did a tremendous amount. Like that is a lot for right. anybody to do. But I know that your little Grinch heart grew three sizes. Right.
Well, here's the thing. Sister. Here's the thing. It's like people kept coming up to me, like family members, like, "Oh, that was great what you did. Thanks for doing all that. I can't believe you're doing all this." And I'm just like, you don't understand. I mean, I was like, thank you. But like in my mind, I'm like, what you don't understand is like every event that I've ever put on, this is what I do. So
yeah,
like
you're like, this is called Tuesday. It's so not a big deal.
My family finally, after 12 years since I've, you know, they've put me through school and helped me with this quote unquote career, they finally got to reap the benefits. I finally got to give back and use all of the skills I've acquired: music, drinking, hosting, sound tech stuff,
being
all the stuff.
Funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Finally.
I know. Finally, it's a benefit instead of a, you know, something they have to put their money towards. So
you have peaked, my friend. Congratulations. Yeah,
it was great. We had a great time. It was a fun time. So
man, that's pretty good. You had the best day ever with your family, and then you had Thanksgiving, and then I mean, like, you're
and
dying.
Now I'm
you're
here.
Like,
what a downhill.
Christmas. What could come next?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank goodness for St. Nicholas Day.
Yeah. So two final thoughts on this.
Okay.
One, like literally a thought that I had was like, I'm not Jesus. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I felt this like immediately when they said the alcohol is gone. When you hear the alcohol is gone at a wedding party, what do you think about?
Hey, give me some water, y'all. Give me some jars of water and I got this.
So like, I'm not Jesus, but it took me about, you know, 25 minutes to get from no alcohol to alcohol.
We don't know how long Jesus it took
Jesus. About, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Who knows? Who knows?
We don't
know.
We don't know. No one ever says how long it took him to make the water into wine. We're just impressed that he did it.
Right. Jesus made alcohol appear at a wedding party. I made alcohol appear at a wedding party. I mean, I feel like I'm fulfilling the scriptures. I feel like I fulfilled the scriptures. I feel like it's one of the holiest things I've ever done.
Is lightning coming? Am I going to get struck by lightning? Even if I'm laughing at this joke, it's... something
like,
gonna happen.
Is it weird that like I have traveled and done ministry, I've worked in ministry here locally for years, and one of the holiest times I've ever felt was providing alcohol for 150 people?
It's holy. It's holy. It's listen, God was like, I'm gonna give these people yeast and it's gonna change their lives. I'm gonna give them hops.
Right.
And it's a game changer. Right. So I think yes, I think you're basically a farmer.
Well, good. I was going for Jesus and I got farmer out of it. So wonderful.
I mean, I'm really scared about the lightning thing. I want to make it to Christmas. Okay. So I don't know how far I can go with this. I think that's funny though. I think that's hilarious. I love, of course you thought of that. Of course you thought, who do I remind me of?
Right. I think I'm being just like Jesus right now.
This is so
serving
familiar.
These margaritas. Yeah.
Where have I heard this story before?
But I literally thought about it because it's like in the show, they were like, oh,
you're
like,
not wrong.
You know, like the family was stressed out. They didn't want to be embarrassed. It's like, okay. Yeah. Like somebody can step in and help. And
so you could at least really relate. And now when you have to preach on that, you could be like, you guys, I have a story.
Right.
I know what Jesus was doing. But that's real. Like, we've talked about how he was really trying to save this couple, and everybody's like, I mean, get over it. You know, some people are like, oh, okay. Like, it is a big deal. When you've got, you know, so many people, that is a big deal. It's your wedding day, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, I think that's really cool that you actually have a real life example of the wedding feast of Cana. And then there's like a sidebar with Taylor Schroll.
Right, yeah,
Cana
exactly.
2.0.
Right. Modern day Cana. So when we come back, we're going to talk about, because I was in Lubbock, which you love, and I have thoughts. We're also going to talk about some of your travels. We talked about mine. We're going to talk about the FOMO from your trip to Hawaii. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Our newest sponsor today is a really cool app, the eMissile app from OCP. I used it at Mass this past Sunday. So what you guys can do on it is it features instant access to music, readings, prayers, the order of the Mass, providing all churchgoers with everything they need to take part in the celebration of the Mass. It was so simple. I opened up the app on my iPhone, and all of the readings were there, which, like, you know, you could always look those up on USCCB, but that can get annoying if you're looking it up before Mass. But not only does this have the readings, but it also has the prayers that, like, the priest prays that, you know, some of us, if we're being honest, may or may not be following along with. But for me, it's easier to follow along if I have something to look at while I'm also hearing it. So I could see the priest's prayers, I could see the order of the mass and all the readings. It was great. So this is a USCCB approved Breaking of the Bread 2022 e-missile app that is now available. The e-missile app is $4.99 and what it is it's the entire liturgical year. So we just started the liturgical year with Advent. It goes all the way through the beginning of next Advent. You can get it on Apple or Android devices. So if you would like to download it, you can do so directly at the Apple Store or Google Play or by visiting fortecatholic.com/OCP. Go download it now. The app is awesome. I used it at Mass last Sunday, and I'm going to be using it every Sunday from here on out. It's way too easy. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Schroll, and that is Olivia Newton-John. So in the last segment, we talked about, you know, the Thanksgiving and the wedding and all those things. But one thing have time for. Yeah, I am essentially Jesus. Yes, we've established this. I'm very holy.
I just want people to go back and listen to that segment if they didn't. I just want that to be a buzzword. And then people are like, what? And then they go back if they missed it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's how podcasts work. People missed the last segment. Yep. Okay. So... I do a live show. I have to remind people. Like, no, people just push play and listen to it, and they're probably not even listening to us right now. There's somebody right now who has been zoned out for a while, and he just tuned back in to be like, hey, they're talking about me. You know, like, okay. So at my sister's wedding, my sister lives in Lubbock. Her now husband lives in Lubbock. Like, so that's where the wedding was, and you have proclaimed the glories of Lubbock for years because that's where you went to college, yes?
And yeah, it's true, yeah. It's West Texas. I went to Texas Tech University, and it gets a bad rep. It's like the redheaded stepchild of Texas, and especially that university is. Like, you've got UT, A&M, and you've got coming up third is Texas Tech, you know? And it's like...
Oh, I don't think it's third, but that's a whole other thing.
We were all in the same conference together at one point. And so we were always the left, like the little brother that's like, hey,
I'll take Baylor. I'll take TCU. Hey,
we're not the same as Baylor and TCU. We're way bigger than them. You're the worst. So poor little West Texas. All anybody knows about it is Buddy Holly. They know that Texas Tech is there and that it's, you know, a dirt storm.
Yeah. So
I have legit dirt storms.
Joked about you for a long time that, like,
yeah,
Texas Tech, it is the redheaded stepchild of like Texas schools. Like, so for those,
it's a really beautiful campus, by the way. The buildings are gorgeous. The buildings are built from a school in Spain. A&M is not like that. It's very concrete-y and it's, you know, very like very plain. University of Texas is very urban, but Texas Tech is beautiful. And there's a whole thing about the architecture there. So it really is this beautiful campus. If it were any place else, I think it would get some love. But the buildings are beautiful. I'm talking about the buildings. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what you want in a school. Not good graduates or, you know, high degrees. You want our buildings are good. The people inside are stupid, but the buildings look pretty. Okay.
Taylor Schroll.
Yes.
I graduated from there, and exactly. Look at me now.
So
I'm
okay.
On Forte Catholic, you guys.
Right, yeah. Look how high, look at the cliffs that you've climbed. You clawed your way onto the Forte Catholic podcast. So successful.
Can barely walk through the mall.
So I have to tell you my story. This is my
okay, I'm listening.
I've made fun of you for years about this city and about the school, just because like that's what you do in Texas. But I didn't have any personal experience. I now have personal experience, and I feel even stronger than I did before. So my first evening in Lubbock, first of all, we drive to Lubbock. The drive from College Station, Texas, to Lubbock, Texas, is the most boring, dry, dead drive that I have ever taken in my entire life. My son, who has never gotten sick in the car, looked outside and was like, this is so gross that I'm car sick, and threw up in the car. Never been car sick before once. But going
to
Lubbock.
You guys need to go. You need to keep going. Lubbock is the best. Wait till you keep going.
Oh,
go
no.
ahead. It's not an
terrible.
Exciting drive, but it's not the worst drive, but go ahead. It's West Texas.
You
keep
said
going.
Go ahead twice and then kept talking. So we get there. We're exhausted. We have to go right to the rehearsal. We go to the rehearsal. Okay, everything's fine. Then we go to the rehearsal dinner. And there's this restaurant. It's a good restaurant. I really enjoyed it. Then we are leaving the restaurant, Olivia. I've been in Lubbock for maybe 5 hours, probably 4 or 5 hours. I'm leaving. It's like 9 o'clock at night. I pull out of the parking lot in the minivan. You know, this is the family car that we're all traveling in together. In the middle of a 6-lane road, there is a man so drunk that he's staggering. I don't see him until he staggers within about 3 feet from the front of my van. He's in the second lane of a 6-lane like major road. I almost committed like involuntary manslaughter that was his fault within 4 hours of being in Lubbock because that man couldn't stand being here. That he was just like, I'm going to get drunk and walk out in the middle of traffic. I almost killed someone in Lubbock.
It was probably a college kid.
He was not. Taylor. This person was between my age and yours.
He could have been in college. He could be a grad student. He could be at the medical school there, and he's having a hard day.
Yes. Yeah. This seems like a med student. Something they would do. Yep.
There's a law school there. Could have been a lawyer. Listen.
Maybe, okay. Yeah, maybe the med school at Texas Tech graduates these types of people.
Taylor,
your town sucks.
Everybody has drunk people in their towns. That is not unique to Lubbock.
It was so bad. I drove around this part of town. The town's gross. The town's gross. There was a constantly just dirt. I felt like I was in the ugly part of the Dune movie. That's just sand everywhere and dust everywhere. I breathe it into my lungs.
Yes, it's
still in my nose. It has been a week.
I believe that.
It's
yes.
so gross.
You'll find it in your ear. Like, you'll find it, like, in that weird part of your ear. Like, you'll be like, what is that? And then you're like, oh, yeah. It'll rain mud, actually, because the dirt and the dust gets up into the sky.
So the plagues from Egypt are still happening in Lubbock, Texas.
In Lubbock, Texas. No, what I love about Lubbock is I do love the architecture, and I love the food. Now, they have one of the best culinary schools there. So any major, like a lot of major restaurants that start, like become big in Dallas, got their start in Lubbock, Texas.
So they got out as fast as they could. Anytime something gets successful, it leaves Lubbock.
That's fine. That Buddy Holly left. Sure. And so, but if it can make it in Lubbock, there's more restaurants per square capita. Now, you got to remember, I was morbidly obese when I lived there. More restaurants per square capita. Of course I love this place. Like, I was like, this is the best place ever. And they do. They have great food. And I told you to go eat at Spanky's and you didn't. And I told you to go eat at the Pancake House and you didn't. And that would have changed your mind. But it's the food.
Did
the
you
food
not hear
that? Fantastic.
Maybe you need to go back and listen to the last segment
you
to hear
like
how busy
restaurant.
I
you
was.
The restaurant. I heard you. But that's what we loved about it. And the sunsets. But listen, would I live there? No. And would I go to school there? Probably not. But it was the only university that would take me. Okay, continue.
Yeah, it's all coming together. It's all coming together. So
we all know I got a 1.9 freshman year. Come on, Taylor.
Oh, boy, I didn't know that. But it all makes sense. It really is all coming together. So, okay. Going from Lubbock to somewhere else that you went recently. It's a little different than Lubbock. Just a little.
Samesies.
And by a little bit different, I mean probably the most opposite place in the world.
Ever. Like, those two places cannot be more opposite. It's me and Nathan as places. Nathan's Lubbock and I am Kauai. I was in Kauai.
I'm not going to let that happen. Why are you just slamming Nathan and preparing him to Lubbock?
No. Nathan, the whole joke since we've known each other since we were 15 is he's like Eeyore. He has like a little black rain cloud over his head, which there's funny stories from Kauai that prove this. I live in a magical rainbow with a unicorn. Like, everything magic happens in my life with glitter. And Nathan's like, so that's what I mean. Like, Lubbock is like Lubbock.
Like, you could say whatever you want. He's your husband. But Nathan, I know that you listen to this show. And I just want you to know that I would never, ever,
he's not gonna argue it.
Ever compare you to the city of Lubbock. You are at least Nacogdoches, sir.
Oh, God. That's awful. That's awful.
Okay,
that's
so
awful.
You went to Hawaii for 2 weeks.
I went to Hawaii. I was gone for exactly 2 weeks. I went to Hawaii. Just
Best two
Nathan
weeks
and
of
I.
My life.
No kids. You're welcome. That was your birthday present. Yes. Taylor was so excited. One in like 9 days, I think we were something like that. Like out of the 14, 9 days were spent in Kauai. And Nathan had won a trip for a week, which means he paid for it at a gala online the year before. It was COVID. And we had a bottle of wine. And it was a good fundraiser. And he purchased it. And it was a week at a house on 5 acres of land, overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The mountains are there, like Bali High from South Pacific, the mountain that they used, that was there. Like, that was a view, private pool, 7-bedroom house, 6 bathrooms. It was amazing. And so we invited our friends to come for free. We were like, look, if you can get here, you can come stay. You want to eat ramen the whole time? I don't care. You could eat like PB&J. And everybody was like, we're in. Because Southwest flies there. Like, it's not that crazy. If you have somewhere to stay or crash in Kauai, it's kind of like not that hard to do. You know what I mean? But you got to have someplace to go. So it was an incredible trip. Catherine Whitaker came, who's a friend of the show, of yours and mine. Allison Sullivan came, and their husbands, no children, friend of yours and mine. I did invite Taylor, everybody. I did invite him. I invite some other people and some people. Listen, Taylor's in a season where he's got a lot of little kids, and it's hard, like, to leave for a week. Now, could they have come up for 24 hours? I mean, it doesn't sound like he tried very hard. He could have. Fly in, hang out, fly out. That would have been awful.
Yeah, because that's how my life works. Yep. Totally makes sense.
I'm just
drive
teasing.
You would fly to the South Pacific just on a whim. Yep. That's
it was
how
a
my
joke. You were missed. So, and then we had some other friends. So there were, yes, you were. You really were. Like Allison talked about it. So there were 5 couples. So there were 10 of us all together. It was a great number of people. I went on a doorless helicopter ride with Catherine Whitaker. We all rented a boat on the last day that we were all together, all 10 of us. Nathan and I flew over a photographer friend that we have that lives in Oahu. And he did pictures for us on the beach, which we're all dying to see. And we brought in a chef to do a private dinner. So it was all out and fun. And it was amazing. And they all went hiking without me. but it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. So there you go. That was samesies as Lubbock.
Yeah, uh-huh, for sure. So you did invite me, and I promptly told you no, because one, I don't have the...
You have little kids.
I don't have the money to just fly my wife and I to Hawaii for 24 hours. We have the little kids. It's hard to get away, especially for that long.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, I was stuck at home editing you and Allison's shows all freaking week. So, you know, like, I have big boy responsibilities, you know. But, like, it was one of those things that, like, I was glad that you asked me. I was totally fine not being there. Like, I saw a pic, like, you know, you and I, we like, at one point I FaceTimed you and Nathan, we are driving some convertible on an island Hawaii, and you were like, oh, this is the ugly part. And I'm like, shut up. There's something clinically wrong with you. If you think that anywhere, you think Lubbock is good and part of Hawaii is ugly. Like, there's something not connecting in your brain.
We were in Honolulu, and it's a real city. And I was like, don't look at this part. This is not the good part of Oahu. And you're like, I hate you.
Yeah. So I was mad then, but I got over that. So
you're
even
so
the times
mad.
Like, but like, you know, like, you know how like on Instagram, like the people that you interact the most are like the stories that pop up. So like the right. people that I interact with the most are like my wife, my best friend, you, Allison, Catherine Whitaker, like all these people. So like for a week, the things I didn't foresee, for a week, all the top stories were just all of you people having a blast without me. So I had a little bit of FOMO. But aww. even then, when I was seeing all your stories, like I was just like, there's nothing I could have changed about it. It's not like I regretted my decision because my decision wasn't going to change. I wasn't sad about it. But even seeing all you guys have fun, I was like, almost genuinely happy for everybody. Like you know, but here's the thing. Here's what, here was the break, the thing that broke me. Is okay. While y'all were gone, I had every day for 7 days, anywhere from 1 to 3 people, not a ton, but over the course of the week, add that up and that's quite a bit, 1 to 3 people every day. Hey, what are all these Catholics doing in Hawaii? Hey, where are all your friends? Hey, what are Liv and Allison doing? Oh, I wonder why Taylor's not there. Why wasn't he invited? Like, all of these things. So, like, I got asked every day, at least once, Hey, why aren't you in Hawaii? Hey, what are all your friends doing in Hawaii? Hey, is there a Catholic thing going on in Hawaii? Why aren't you in Hawaii? What's going on in Hawaii? What's going on? And it broke me. It broke me because I was like, why is this happening?
And I did not know that.
I was okay with it until I had to think about it and was presented with it over and over again. And my way of dealing with things is just suppressing them until I have the ability to deal with them. Or just letting them go away, right? The Hawaii trip would have just gone away. I didn't have to suppress it anywhere. It would have just been over and been fine. But every day it just kept rising up and I was just like, rah! So that's how I felt about your trip to Hawaii.
I am so sorry. I love that I've seen you since Hawaii and you did not tell me that at all. Like, I had no idea anybody
show
cared.
Prep.
I didn't know anybody show
prep.
Saw it.
Gotta have it here. All the good stuff happens here. All the boring stuff is whatever. I save the boring stuff for friendship. I use the good stuff here.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I want you to hear this. This is not the last time we're going to Kauai. Nathan and I are actually in prayer about something pretty big with Kauai, which I shared with you. So you will always be invited. I want everyone
prayer
to hear that.
Kauai will never once be involved in my prayer. Just not something that'll pop up, I promise.
But I'm saying I'm not asking you to pray. Nathan and I are in prayer, not you. But you will always be invited. And so we will go back and you will be invited. So start saving now.
Yes,
there you
ma'am.
Go.
Yes, ma'am.
So you can come. But yeah, I've got old kids. I've got an 18-year-old and an 11-year-old, Taylor. You know, one doesn't even live here. I got one kid. It's in sixth grade. Like, that's easy to peace out for
Did
2 weeks.
Did you just say it's in sixth grade? You just said it's in sixth grade. So I stayed here with my kids because I love them. You left it at home and went to Hawaii for 2 weeks.
She has been to Hawaii, okay? Like, she's fine. And I had something sent to her every day. I had food mailed in every day from a different state. I even had pineapples mailed in from Maui. You know how extra I am. And I wrote her a letter every day.
Your mom made it into a sauce and put some ham with it.
You know what? I should ask her if that was the pineapple. Right. Yeah. I should totally ask her. That's a good point. Yeah. Nice, Taylor.
See, I don't have to re-listen to the last segment. I was there for it.
You were Miss Taylor Schroll. I want everyone to know I did invite Taylor, and I'm really sorry people asked you about it. I didn't even think about that.
I want everyone to know I was invited too. I guess people think that no one just wants to be around me because all my friends went to Hawaii without me. Sucks.
I invited you.
Well, I'm glad. I am glad you had a good time. And like,
did.
I was really happy for y'all. Happy everybody else got to go. It's just one of those things. I had fully accepted it until I got asked about it over and over again. So there are multiple times where stuff like that happens where I think I'm over something or I think I'm okay with something and then something triggers.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you think about that?
Uh-huh. I'm going to have some pineapple shipped to you from Maui.
Thank you.
It's better than smoked salmon. Taylor hates when I ship him food because it's either hit or miss.
You just ship me food that, you know how there's like tax brackets? Like if you make a certain amount of money, you're in a different tax bracket. Like,
no, but go ahead. Yes, no, I do know that.
Yeah, I would hope so. It's what your husband does for a living. But, you know, like, there's all this. I feel like smoked salmon, I feel like you have to be in a certain tax bracket to, like, enjoy it. Like, I feel like salmon is, like I just got into the tax bracket where I can enjoy sushi. Sushi, like, I feel like I just got into that tax bracket where, like, oh, yeah, sushi's okay to order and enjoy, you know? But, like, smoked uncooked salmon, that's like you gotta be in one of those high tax brackets that, you know, what's his name, Bernie wants to tax.
I'll send you caviar next time. It sounds like your escargot is that it'll be one of those. No, I've sent you steaks. You like the steaks. I'll just stay to meat. And pineapples. That's what I'll start sending you. Don't say anything, Taylor.
I do like, yeah, I'm being very careful. I do like that you sent, I'm realizing this. You sent me something that I know I enjoy, and you didn't stick with that. You tried something new, and it was terrible.
I was trying. It came with wine. It came with wine and cheese and crackers and it was Harry and David.
What is happening? Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to wrap this segment up. I'm done. Apparently, we're just done talking about this. Hey, but whenever we come back, we're going to have a good conversation about a moral dilemma that I found myself in. And we're going to talk about another modern day Bible story, like an old Bible story coming true, except this time I wasn't Jesus. It was someone else. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. He just fell apart. That was great.
Hold on. I'm going to go get water.
Our friends over at the Grotto Network are crushing it. I've been talking about them on the episodes for the last few months. Grotto Network on Instagram. It's awesome. It makes me so proud that they are a sponsor of this show. Every time I see one of their posts, they are just doing some really cool, like on the cusp, the, what is it called? The green growing edge. Like, they're just meeting people where they are on Instagram, and is one of the best pre-evangelization tools I've seen in a very long time. So Grotto Network is a platform that shares stories to inspire our generation of Catholics, whether you're falling away or a daily mass goer. So they have stuff for literally everybody. Some of my favorite posts are the ones from people who are Catholic but kind of struggling with it, which, you know, I've shared about on this show quite a bit at times. And we all have those times where faith or hope or love can be difficult. And they're acknowledging that, you know, those things can be difficult, but letting people have a voice and find a community where we can all grow together. That's what this whole Catholicism thing is all about. So if you want to check it out, you can do so. It's at Grotto, G-R-O-T-T-O Network, Grotto Network on Instagram, and share it with somebody. Like, this is a really good pre-evangelization tool. So, like, people who may or may not like the church or who maybe have left the church, it's a really easy way, something that kind of, you know, kind of get a foot in the door for Catholicism. So go follow them today at Grotto Network on Instagram. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Stroll, and that is still Olivia Eugene Harrison. Olivia, we started the show off talking, usually on our post-Thanksgiving show, we started off talking about food, and our last segment is two stories that are also going to involve food, one of which involves me, and one of which involves Jesus in the Bible. Again, you know, we're coming full circle to the beginning of the show, just with a little bit of caveats. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, here's my moral dilemma. This is from a while ago. So a few episodes ago, I mentioned that I spent the weekend alone with my kids. Like, my wife was in San Antonio, so I was alone with the kids, and we ate out every meal, which, like, isn't a surprise to you, but, like, to everyone else, you know, that's weird, you know. But we went to IHOP, and here's the moral dilemma that I had. We tried to go to my favorite breakfast place in town, but it was Saturday morning. And I didn't realize this, that, like, on game day, even, like, the breakfast places are crazy. I should have known that, but I've just never been really out on game day, because usually I try to avoid that. But usually my wife's here to cook food, and she wasn't. So we had to go out, you know, like, quote-unquote, had to go out. So we went to the favorite place. There was a line, like, 80 people out the door. So we went to IHOP instead. And there was a good line, maybe 30-minute wait, but I was like, okay, we'll just wait here. So there's a bunch of people before me. And, like, when you're waiting for a restaurant, you kind of see, like, obviously they have the list and they'll call who's in line, but you can definitely see, like, who's in line ahead of you, right? So I see that there's this couple and there's this family and there's this group of, like, you know, teenage girls and there's this other family and there's this other couple and all these people waiting to get food, right?
Okay.
And I sit down. They say it's going to be about 30 minutes. About 10 minutes in, they say, "Table for Taylor." So I get up, right? Like, that's my name. That's who the table name was over. I have Taylor and my three kids. And I walk up with Taylor and my three kids. And they say, "Taylor, table for three?" I said, "No, it's four." And they said, "Oh, okay." And they take us to the table. As I'm walking to the table, I realize there's another Taylor that's sitting in that waiting room. Because they said table for three. And we got our table before an... There were some people there waiting for us, a couple, a family, and a group of three teenage girls. That group of teenage girls got sat about 20 minutes after we did, two tables away from us. I'm pretty sure one of them's name was Taylor.
Because you and teenage girls have the same name.
Yeah, exactly. We're the same. Samesies.
Oh, my gosh. So the moral dilemma is, what should you have done?
The moral dilemma is, the moment that I realized that I'm getting someone else's table.
Yeah.
Should I have said something? Or do I just go sit down? Because technically I didn't do anything wrong. They called my name. I got up. They brought me to the table. That's how restaurants work.
That is true. And do we know that one of the teenage girls was named Taylor? Or do we have confirmation on that?
I think it's pretty obvious that we got sat before some of the other people.
You're assuming.
I mean, the other option is that I'm so famous that I got sat before these other people.
Or they wrote down the number of your party wrong. So there's also that third option.
Sure. Or they could like kids more than they like teenagers. My kids are really cute, you know.
You do have cute kids. The teens are fine. Teenage girls just want to hang out and talk. Like if it was like old people, like I say it goes on a case by case, you know, thing. I think you're fine. Teenage girls, they're fine. They can hang out. They don't have little kids. You're a single dad for the weekend with three little kids. They need to eat. Kids should not wait 30 minutes for anything. I think you did the right thing.
I think I did the right thing too. I'm glad we agreed.
I really do. The teens are fine. They're teenagers. They could go to Sonic. They're fine.
I looked at them a few times throughout our meal, and they were having a grand old time. I don't even think they realized it, to be honest.
They did.
So,
they're fine.
So
you did good.
My kids got their happy pancakes. I was happy because I got to eat. I think the whole thing worked out splendidly for me.
Fantastic.
You were
blessed.
Yeah, because it's one of those things. Technically, I did nothing wrong.
You didn't.
The whole process is go up to the hostess, say your name, sit down. They call your name. You get up. You go to your table. That's what I did.
there was no maliciousness, and you didn't have bad intentions behind it. I think you're clear. I think you're totally fine. I don't think it was a venial sin.
It's not my fault. IHOP should have a better system. Like maybe those little buzzers. If they had the buzzers, this wouldn't have happened. It's not on me.
Or Taylor S. and Taylor M. You know what I mean? Like there's Taylor Swift. Well, both you, Taylor Swifts, are both Taylor.
We sure are.
If it had been Taylor Swift, you would have known. But she wasn't there, so you didn't know.
And if Taylor Swift was there, I'm obviously more famous and I would have been set first.
Obvi.
Okay. Another modern day Bible story. This with a story that involves Jesus. But this one doesn't involve me. Other than the fact that I was listening to this podcast that I have talked about before. I've talked about it on the podcast, but I haven't talked about it with you. I actually think, I know you're not good at like listening to podcasts or watching TV. You just, you know, host 87 shows. You don't consume shows. But I know there's one that I think you would like. It's called The Happiness Lab. Have I talked to you about this at all?
No, but it sounds like it would be a podcast I would have.
Oh, it's great. It's called The Happiness Lab with Dr. Lori Santos. She is a professor of psychology, I believe at Harvard. It could be Yale, but I think it's Harvard. It's one of those, you know, schools that neither of us got in because you went to
Texas Tech.
So
she's not in Lubbock.
The neuroscience of happiness. And like the reason I've talked about it on the show is like a lot of times these things connect to, she's even done series on like teachings of the ancients and how teachings of old philosophers and religions and all these things actually connect. The science matches up with like teachings of religion and philosophers and these sorts of things. So I was listening to this to it the other day, and there was this story. There's this kid. I kind of wrote it down. I'm gonna read it to you. So a man collapsed on a flight, and he went into diabetic shock, and they realized pretty quickly that it was due to low blood sugar. Okay, they land. And the airport is it's either really late or really early. They didn't say, but like everything's closed. It's barren. There's nobody there. Nothing's open. So they can't like get anything, right? Two doctors rush in. There's two doctors on the flight or in the airport, and they rush in. And those are the people who say like he's going into shock because of a lack of low blood sugar. But they can't do anything because nobody has anything with sugar in it. They just got off this long flight, this cross-country flight. So there's this little kid, though. A small voice comes up behind him and says, it's a 9-year-old kid who's on his first ever flight by himself, cross-country. And his grandma, who dropped him off, gave him a Lunchable so that he could feel some sort of, you know, safety and have something to eat on his first flight by himself. And this little voice pipes up and says, I think I have a Snickers in my Lunchable, right? It's first time he had ever been alone. He saw that everybody else was helping out. He saw that the doctors were helping out, and he also heard that there was an issue, right? And went and gave gave the Snickers, and the guy lived, right? So this 9-year-old kid who was in what could have been a very stressful situation, his first flight, somebody's going into shock, the adults are freaking out, right? And all he says was, he hears they need sugar, he has a Snickers, and he offers it. What do you think?
Oh my gosh, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard in my life.
So sweet.
Like, I'm like, I'm dying. I'm trying not to just completely cry. And I am diabetic. So that story hits me on a lot of points, actually, to be really honest with you, because I haven't gotten into diabetic shock, but I've been in a state where my husband has had to get icing out of like the refrigerator and start rubbing it on my gums, like in my mouth, because I was like I was gone. Like I was like going into shock. Yeah. So geez Louise, I'm sitting here thinking like that's insane. Also, I can't believe it, you know what? They probably don't know. Milk is actually really good. Not that you're asking, but milk is really good for diabetics whenever they need something to drink, because milk has sugar and protein. So you want to have something with sugar and protein to stabilize the sugar.
Yeah, that's the lesson I was going for out of this story. Thanks for that.
What I love about this story is that this kid was so calm. And like, I don't know if this is what you're asking, or you're not really asking anything, but the adults, we're so in our heads about so much. You know what I mean? We get in the way. Like we've gone through so much. We've seen so much. You and I talk all the time about the, you know, the tapes we have in our head or whatever is filling our brains. And it's like, whatever. You tell me compliments all the time. I'm like, shut up, Taylor. And like one person tells me one thing and I'm like, this is what I believe.
Right.
This yep. one horrible drives comment. Yeah. I'm going to put it on a poster on my wall. Taylor's like, oh my gosh. But here's this kid that isn't jaded, who hasn't gone through all the things we've gone through. And is like, guys, I've got a Snickers. Like I'm here. Like, I think that's super cool. Please tell me this is a true story.
It is. It is a true story.
Oh, good.
So what story does that remind you of in the gospel?
What story does that remind? Oh, the little kid. What kind of reminds me of like the old lady with the talents, you know? With,
nope.
Like,
nope. Try again. You had it right the first mites, time.
The little kid.
Yes.
What little kid is in the story? I'm thinking of the drummer boy, but I'm like, that's.
There's a little kid who gave Jesus. Food and it saved the day.
Which story?
Little kid gave food and it
oh,
saved the
at
day.
At the feeding of the 5,000 loaves and fishes. I literally was thinking, wait, is the drummer boy a real story?
Okay, my turn, because you obviously can't think or comprehend words. So the little boy in the yeah. story of the feeding of the 5,000, right?
Yes.
The
yes,
little boy.
Yes.
What are all the adults doing? The adults are coming up to Jesus saying, hey, there's no food. Do we send them
yeah,
away?
Do we
go do something yeah. practical? Like, you know, like there's nothing here. It's barren. It was like the airport. There's nothing they can do. We know what the problem is, but we can't solve it. Right.
Yeah.
And there's this little kid who pipes up and says, oh, I have a Snickers. Oh, I have some bread and some fish.
Right.
And then this is where the analogy breaks down. Right. Because Jesus is the one that does the miracle. And, you know, he takes what the little boy gave and multiplies it and everybody gets to eat. Right. There's a real miracle there. But going back to this modern day, kind of this little kid helping to save this guy's life is the whole point of this episode of the Happiness Lab with Dr. Lori Santos. I highly recommend it. I love the podcast. It's been really good, especially during the last 2 years. Like it right before quarantine, during quarantine, and then even now, is the whole episode was about that people help when they see other people helping. They don't help when they don't see other people helping. So there was this tragic story of like a woman who was being attacked, and in New York City, people saw mm-hmm. it. Nobody reported it because they just assumed, oh, somebody else will report it, or that's not my business, or somebody else probably is already taking care of it, right? But it's in similar situations when one person goes out and says, hey, is everything okay? Then a group starts to come, right? People start grouping mm-hmm. up because they're like, they see that one person going to help and they want to go back up that one person and the person that's in the weird situation, all this kind of stuff, right? And maybe you'll be wrong. Maybe you walk up and they're joking around, they're playing, and you don't understand what's going on. You look dumb for a second, but you'd rather step up in those situations and you probably won't be alone. Other people step up. So they were saying that like, the kid, being a kid, wouldn't have known what was going on, but right. he saw other people helping. And like cognitively, right. he was like, oh, if other people are helping, like I can help too.
It's time to right? help.
So I think the kind of challenge for me is like, there have been situations, I've shared about them on the show before, like there's been situations where I have stepped up and been the first person to to step up and help. There have also been times where I haven't. Like, there was a weird situation. I'm not getting, not bringing the whole Lubbock thing in, but there was a weird situation. I was in the parking lot waiting on my wife. She was getting dressed out of Kohl's. I was in the Kohl's parking lot, and there was a situation where it was weird. It was weird with a guy, and it looked like his wife or girlfriend or something. And I was just like watching it, and I was like, "Do I go out? Do I not or whatever?" And like, it wasn't like anything like super violent or anything, but it was just weird,
concerning,
right? It's concerning.
Something was off. There was a red flag,
right? And I watched.
Was this recent?
It was when I was in Lubbock. Yeah.
Oh, it just happened. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
okay. Got it.
I was watching it, and it was about 5 minutes, and it's like I could see that like everybody that walked by, I'm like looked at him, right? Mm. Like it was weird, but it. So I ended up not doing anything because they like calmed down and they walked into Kohl's together. It's like, okay, there are other people in there, right? Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't have hurt for me to step in and say something. So like that's just been in my head. It's like it might be awkward. It might be weird. But like if you're if I would have walked up to him, my guess is somebody else would have too, you know? So like don't be afraid to be the first person because the first person might not be able to solve it. Even the two most qualified people were the first person to try to help this person in the airport. The doctors, they came to help, but they're not the ones that were able to actually do something about the situation. It was the little kid that came later. So be that first person, be brave. That's just been kind of the thing that I've been thinking about.
I love that. No, that's great. And I'm glad that you told that story because it's so funny. This past weekend, I was with high school friends, some older like classes.
I don't know if
ours.
You mean kids currently in high school or
no. My class, like graduated with me, you know, so last summer. And there was an older class that was having a reunion, but one of the girls that graduated with me was in town to see her sister, and they're having like the class of whatever, I'm not going to say because you're going to make fun of me, was having a reunion. So there was a small
class
group
of 95.
Us. I'm class of 95.
1895.
Stop it. Class of 92 was having a reunion. And the place they were having literally is 5 minutes from my house. Like if you were to type it in right now, it would say 5 minutes. And so the class of 95 people that were going like called me. They were like, get up here. Come hang out with us. You know, and I haven't seen them. And I actually got it, throughout the night. It's a long story and I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'll tell you later. But throughout the entire night, there was a man that kept bothering me. You know, and I like made it clear, like, I'm not interested. I'm, you know, married, like whatever. And he kept approaching me and he continued to get more and more inebriated as the evening went on. And he was not with our group. He was with another group. And so I told my friends, I was like, I think this guy is like, I don't know. I think he's hitting on me. I'm not really sure. So like it got more and more apparent. And then finally something happened and was not okay. And I literally called for one of my guy friends who was there. That I graduated with, and I like said his name, and he not only came over, like he took care of the situation, like amazing. He was like the head baseball player whenever we graduated in high school.
Yes, head baseball player. That's what they call it.
I don't know. But here's what, going to your point, the group that this man was with, one of like his friends saw what was happening and they came over and saw he was too drunk. You know what I mean? He was not appropriate with me. Like he was, and they started pulling him away. So my friend didn't have to handle it like physically. I mean, he kind of pushed him on the side, but you're right. Like it was kind of amazing. Once somebody saw my friend come over and start handling the situation, other people came in, you know, and they were brave enough and it got settled and actually they escorted the guy out. So you're absolutely right. Like it's amazing how people will go into action if they see somebody else into action, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So don't be afraid to be the one because people will join in. And I think that that's what people are afraid of. Like, I'm going to be the only one here. But anyway.
It's a great ending to a not so great story. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm sorry that happened. And only one thing is for sure. You know what that one thing is?
What?
That bad man in that story. You know where he lives now?
Where?
Lubbock. And that's all we have time for today. I'm Taylor Schroll. That's Olivia Newton-John Harrison. Thank you guys for watching, listening. Make sure you hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, what are you still doing here? I'll be back next week. See ya! Thank you guys so much for watching and listening to today's episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. It was a blast to record. We love doing this show, and we are glad that you guys enjoy it. If you enjoyed today's show, two things. One, hit the subscribe button wherever you are watching or listening. That is the nicest thing that you can do for a podcaster. Speaking of nice things you can do for podcasters, our friends over at Ave Explores have a new Advent season that you can go check out right now. You have a choice this Advent. Get caught up in the annual rush of shopping, decorating, and parties, or slow down and take time each week to remember what the season is all about. Join Ave Maria Press this December for a very special Ave Explores Advent 2021. My friend Katie Prejean McGrady has special guests with Father John Burns, who I've done a conference with, Sister Miriam James Highland, who I met in an airport while I was wearing pajamas. It was very sad for me. Sarah Swafford, who I've done a conference with, Heather Kim, just amazing people. Explore the weekly themes of Advent, watchfulness, preparation, nearness, and Emmanuel with the Adore Advent Journal by Father John Burns. Head over to the Ave Explores podcast today to listen and subscribe. Again, thank you guys for watching and listening. You guys rock, and I'll be back next week. Bye. Love you.